Smith here in church as we gather on this Sunday here in September. It's weird labeling it our Rally Sunday as we gather and continue to look to be in God's Word and kind of resume some of the activities that we'd put off for the summer. We're glad that you are able to be with us, and special greetings to our guest Paul Mrochinski and his wife, Courtney. Paul is the seminarian that our Sunday school was supporting through their Sunday school offerings last year, so we are blessed to have him here in worship this morning. He has a presentation following service, and I believe you will enjoy that presentation, and I invite you to make sure that you're staying for it and to grow in seeing how God works through the men and women in our church to spread the good news of our Savior Jesus. There are a few other things going on this week that are resuming or kind of starting up. We have on Tuesday, actually, our circuit is going to be meeting here for a circuit gathering. And so that's the circuit resuming its normal activities. Wednesday, I see the choir is resuming its rehearsals. Anybody, it says, between 7th grade and age 99. So you're all invited to be part of the choir. So Wednesday at 6:30. Thursday afternoon, there is a Bible study beginning up once again. And so that study is Aging Gracefully. Thursday's at 1:30 in the afternoon. So lots of things resuming and connecting us to one another and God in His Word. And so we are so thankful for these opportunities. And we're so thankful that our Heavenly Father comes to us now as we worship and we're able to speak to Him. One additional need to announce, Melody Donner needs to be added to the prayer list, so if you're able to write that in for your prayer list at home, please do so. She's going to be having surgery coming up and would definitely appreciate your prayers on her behalf. We are following Divine Service Setting 4 this morning, and our opening hymn is number 910, Now the Silence. Please join me in singing. Stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and cleanse us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please join me in speaking responsibly the introit. Be gracious to me, O Lord.
For to you do I cry all day.
For to you, O Lord, are good and forgiving.
Upon me steadfast love to all who call upon you.
Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me.
For I am poor and needy.
In the day of trouble, I will call upon you. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart.
And I will glorify your name forever.
For great is your steadfast love towards me.
You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be gracious to me, O Lord.
For to you do cry all day.
For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving.
Allow me to set that love to all who call upon you.
Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I invite the congregation to be seated for our readings.
The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read along with me the gradual.
Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By the permission, please stand as we continue the Alleluia and verse. According to St. Luke, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to speak with me the Nicene Creed as we confess our Christian faith.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated, and those children that are present, please come forward for a message at this time. How are you this morning? How are you? Okay, we're good, but we're a little timid. Getting back to some of these things once again. We, as the church, are coming back and we're going to resume our Sunday school and resume our instruction. And we do so remembering that this is what God wants for you and for me and for all people. He gave his people 10 commandments, right? Through Moses, they received 10 commandments. And do you, is there anybody who can recall the first commandment? You recall the first commandment?
Not murder?
No, do not murder. That would be a little later on. That's our fifth commandment. Should we phone a friend or call mom and dad and see if they can help us with this answer?
Elliot.
Or maybe an older sibling. Anybody out there? What is our first commandment? You shall have no other gods. So, you shall have no other gods. No other gods that we worship. No other gods that we would pray to. We only pray to one God. The God that we know is our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one who claims you as his child in your baptism. So you are his child and he is your heavenly Father. The one that you are called to fear, love, and trust in above all things. Is that always easy to have only God and only look to what He wants for us? No, we all suffer from sin, right? And our sinful nature would have us look to others, but when you guys come and you gather, when you are in Sunday school, does that help you focus on what is good for you in your life? Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we gather, that helps us focus upon our Lord and Savior so that we would have no other gods. So let's say again our first commandment as we are going to try our best to keep it as God would intend. So you shall have no other gods. So say it with me. You shall have no other gods. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you alone are the God that continues to know us, love us, and calls us your children through the salvation that Jesus Christ has won for us. We ask that we would continue to love you above all things. We would trust in you and we would serve you alone. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming up. I do have some treats if you would like them as you head back to your seats. And our congregation continues by singing hymn 535, How Wide the Love of Christ. Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's sermon is based upon our text from Ephesians chapter 3. I've got a question for you. Why do we do it? Why do we seek, look, and desire to bring the gospel of Jesus to those that do not yet know him as their Lord and Savior? Why? Well, we look to bring the good news of Jesus to those that do not yet believe because that is God's will. God desires that you and I would bring the good news to those that do not know our Savior. And indeed, we even pray that God would have it done. We pray in the Lord's Prayer petitions that focus on bringing God's good into this sinful world. The benefits that God has for all of his creation. We pray, hallowed be thy name. Will God's name be kept holy in the world if we don't first seek to help keep it holy among us and encourage others to do likewise? Thy kingdom come. Certainly we do seek that the kingdom of God would come. Yes, you and I are citizens in two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom or citizens of this United States. And one is greater than the other by far, the kingdom of God. And so we desire that God's kingdom would come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, your will. The will to make known your love to all the world, your creation. The will to make known Jesus as the only Savior. These three petitions call for the followers of Jesus, yes, to look to God and to seek that he would be increased in this world. His name, his kingdom, and his will. That is why we seek to bring the good news to those that are lost. But why do we bring the good news of Jesus to those that do not believe? We bring this good news because, yes, it is God's will. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 clearly tells us, God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Paul writes that, and we are to seek to live it. God wants to be reconciled with his creation. Sin had destroyed the perfect relationship between God and his creation. But God wants all people to be saved from their sins. And this only happens through faith in Jesus. And faith comes when people hear the good news, when they hear of Jesus dying on the cross for them. Why do we bring the good news of Jesus to those that do not believe? I didn't say I, but we. Why is it that all of the church, the body of Christ, does this? Well, God works through men and women to accomplish his purpose. And God desires to work through you and me just as he desired to work through the Apostle Paul, who wrote that letter to the Ephesians, and who wrote other letters. For this, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher to the Gentiles in faith and truth. That's the words that he shared with Timothy. But if we read earlier here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells them, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. Paul is talking about how Jesus called him on the road to Damascus, blinded him, and then revealed to him the course that he would take in this world to bring the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. So yes, Paul makes it clear that he was called. But what about you and me? God's word conveys his will and the truth to be revealed. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 8. That's why we do it. We are part of the generation that seeks to tell the next generation, so that they would tell the generation that follows them the works of God. So I'm going to take a little poll at this time. Can you teach something without knowing it? Or do you need to know the subject matter? All right, who believes you can teach without knowing it? I'm not seeing any hands. Who believes you need to know the subject matter in order to teach it? This is where the hands are going up. You know, it's if you want to help, if you're going to teach, you need to be in that subject matter. So, can you teach about Jesus? Well, who believes that they can teach about Jesus? Well, got some people that are a little hesitant. Or who would believe that you cannot teach about Jesus? I don't really see hands going up here. A few people might want to say, but I don't want to. But that's not what I asked, is it? It's not a matter of if you want to, but are you able? And the answer is yes, you are able to teach about Jesus. All believers are able to teach and tell others about Jesus. You yourself know about Jesus and can tell others about him. The basics we find in the Apostles' Creed. And getting a little deeper, we did the Nicene Creed today. But we are familiar with what we believe and the basics about Jesus. You certainly can teach what you know. I'm not saying that you're ready to get to the head of the class in the seminary. I don't feel like I'm prepared for that. But yet, you certainly can teach what you know. Ask me if I'm ready to teach a calculus class. No, not at all. But can I teach my children the homeschool grade levels, the third and fifth grade math? Yeah, that stuff I know. I can teach what I do know, and so can you. We teach what we know so that they would be able to grow. But when it comes to teaching, I can take them only so far, and then I would seek help from someone more learned that is able to help them grow even further. And that's where the church comes in. You can certainly talk to people about Jesus and then invite them to come to worship, where they learn through our worship practices and sermons. Invite them to come into Bible studies with you, where all are learning and growing together. Today is one of those days when I'm encouraging you to grow in your faith so that you can help take people deeper into God's word as the Holy Spirit works through you. And good teachers, they study the materials that they are teaching. Even at the beginning levels, preschool teachers, they go over their lesson plans once again. Elementary school teachers, they review and refresh so that they are confident in what they're doing. So those that want to learn, well, we need to study, to gather together, to be in the materials that we seek to teach. And learning is a blessing to both the students and the teachers. The foundation of teaching lies in connecting to the subject matter. And we have such a glorious subject matter that we are called to know and to be in ourselves, so that when we approach others, we would be able to give them good news. Jesus, he tells a parable that can help us in understanding how he calls us out. It won't always be pretty. The results will not always be what we would desire, and yet we are called to be faithful. Jesus, he tells this parable. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rocks, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The soil the seed falls upon does make a difference. And yet you and I are called to go out there and spread the soil. But there is good soil for roots to take hold and grow deeper to find the proper nutrients. Then there are also poor soils. As you and I go out there, we can be encouraged. And we can try to help through God to bring his spirit to those that would have good soil. And Paul knows what the good soil for you to grow in faith looks like. What the good soil for others to grow in faith looks like. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Well, that's the upper part of the plant, right? But when we get down and when we talk about roots, there's roots, right? And they get their nutrients from the soil if they're planted in the soil that is good and full of nutrients. So where are you and I to find the nutrients to have be fully rooted so that we can grow deeper, so that we aren't like those plants where the roots could only go so deep because of the rocky ground and then they just die because of lack of water, lack of the nutrients? Paul would have you and me look to our Heavenly Father. He says, "According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Good soil, it starts with God and the riches of his glory, his holiness, his righteousness, his mercy, his grace, and his will for your salvation. From from these, Paul would see him granting you and me this to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit, who works in your inner being, creating faith to believe and trust in Jesus. We speak in the Catechism that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And that true faith, it looks to Jesus and it seeks Jesus. It desires Jesus to be near, for he is the source of our new life. He is the one that feeds us, that as our roots grow deeper into him, we are strengthened in order to weather the harsh realities of this world. Because Jesus died so that you and I might live. And in holy baptism, we enter into God's love and receive promises greater than this world would ever give. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. This is the soil that you and I are called to be rooted and grounded in and upon, the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we grow in his love, he works through us so that we would fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father, bringing his good news to those that do not believe. So why do we do it? We do it because, yes, it is God's will. We do it because God works through us. We do it because God is the one strengthening us with his word to go out and faithfully proclaim, there is no one else in heaven and on earth by which you may be saved. Only Jesus Christ. In him alone, you will find your salvation. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite the congregation to please stand as we continue with our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you sent your Son into the world to put an end to death. Keep us from losing heart in the face of sorrow. Strengthen us with power through your Holy Spirit and keep us to know the love of Christ, that through him we may no longer weep. Lord, in your mercy, great physician, lend your own power to the works of mercy done in the name of your Son, that they may increase faith in the words your servants speak. Lord, in your mercy, faithful Father, when loss and heartache invade our homes and tempt us to doubt your divine care, hear our cries and renew our faith and life in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life and death, you have given all things into the hands of your Son. Inspire those who bear the sword in his stead to do so in faithfulness and love for their fellow men. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Comforter, you gave aid to the widows of Zarephath and Nain, so they would not be left alone. Provide provide faithful friends and companions to our shut-ins and those who live alone, that they may be encouraged in faith toward you and in love toward one another. Lord, in your mercy, great physician, you lead us as St. Paul before us through many tribulations to know the fullness of your love. Strengthen Rick, Glenn, Tracy, Jerry, Sue, Carolyn, Joanne, Kathy, and Melody, and all who suffer, that they may praise you for your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy, ever-present God, as you once visited your people in the person of your Son, so Christ continues to visit your people now with his body and his blood in the Holy Supper. Grant that those who receive the sacrament this day would receive these gifts in true faith, trusting your word that in this meal the forgiveness of all sins is delivered to them by the Savior's own divine promise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, our offerings are collected. Let your roots grow down into him.
Let your lives be built on him.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally, because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. If you have no church home, we invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. If you are unable to attend our worship service in person, we invite you to join us again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, call the church office at 715-762-4541. Peace offers live stream worship as well. On the YouTube channel, search for Peace Lutheran Church, Park Falls. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to give an offering to God for His ministry, you may do so on the Facebook page.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The results today of an IDF investigation into the death of three hostages who were recovered from Gaza by Israeli forces in December. That the hostages were killed by an Israeli airstrike that was targeting a Hamas commander, and it was thought that the hostages were being held elsewhere. A missile strike this hour on a multi-story building in Kharkiv, Ukraine. Police say 30 people injured. After Springfield, Ohio was thrust into the national spotlight, became the subject of threats following former President Trump's debunked claims that immigrants are eating pets there. The state's Republican governor on ABC's This Week.
I think these discussions about Haitians eating dogs and cats and other things needs to stop.
Vice President Kamala Harris is seen by most Americans as the winner of last week's debate. That from our new ABC News Ipsos poll out today, she maintains a slight lead over former President Trump, virtually unchanged from before the debate. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert breaking the bad news today about human remains found recently near Two Rivers.
It is with a heavy heart that I announce to you today those remains were identified as Elijah Vu. With that news and following this briefing, the Amber Alert will be canceled.
The three-year-old boy was reported missing in February. Elijah's mother and her boyfriend are still in jail, charged with child neglect, though not directly linked to his disappearance. Governor Evers says he's troubled by the number of times local schools have to go to voters to raise more money through referendums.
Having to go to referendums.